Welcome to Lyme and Beyond with Tanya. I'm so glad you guys are tuning into this episode. Whatever it is that you're dealing with today specifically or going through at the moment, I just hope that your takeaway from this episode is going to give you what you need. Is it hope, inspiration, validation, some tips on how to treat this or detox more affordable? Whatever it is that you need today, I hope that that's what you get from this episode. And if you want to continue to help me share my voice and our voice in the community, please go into the about of this podcast, scroll to the bottom, click on that donation link. Welcome to Lyme and Beyond with Tanya. And gosh, I'm excited to have this next guest. I think Is it easier or harder to listen to somebody that has, you know, a horrible, brutal journey versus, you know, maybe somebody that was only sick for a few years, not a whole lot of horrible things happen. And I haven't chatted much with my next guest, but enough to know that I really feel like this Lyme has really just affected his life. Like he's lost a lot along this journey. And so I'm anxious to hear his story, kind of figure out how he got through it and where he is today, what he's doing. And so I just appreciate you joining me and being vulnerable to share your journey. It's the tough pieces that are hard to talk about that really are making the biggest impact on the listeners, right? Because we're all going through hard things and we want to know that we're not alone. So Jared, welcome to the show. Thanks so much for joining me.
I'm happy to be here. It's my pleasure. Yeah, I might cry a little bit when we get into the heavy stuff, but yeah, it's great to tell my story. I'm actually able to tell it sometimes without, you know, getting a few tears here and there because it was a battle, that's for sure.
Yeah, and you know, I love my podcast because I've been known to cry on here before, right? Like, and it's not even my journey. Yeah. It's just, yeah. it's hard it's not to. We're real. Heavy. We're raw here, right? Yeah. Like we say it like it is. And I think that that's important for the listeners. Like we don't want to sugarcoat things. We don't want to, you know, cherry on top. This is what it is. We know we want to give you all the good, the bad, the ugly, the evil. But then at the end of the day, we got well, right? Like, so that's your hope. Mm-hmm. So, oh my gosh. So where do we start? Like, how long ago did you get sick? Do you know, did you get bit? Like, what happened?
So I think I figured it out. I first started having symptoms in college. I was in college. I was cage fighting professionally. That's how I paid for college. I was on Jeremy Horn's elite team out of Salt Lake City. And I kind of made my own scholarship. I'd take a fight every 3 or 4 months. And my coaches saw it first. It's funny because martial arts, they're watching you intimately and your advances and falling back. And they start seeing it before I did. And I was taking it personal, thinking it was all in my head, like the doctors were telling me. But they saw something was off and later on called me on it. They're like, I told you so, but you got this.
Wow.
So that was about 2001. And I figured out from journals that I got in Mexico. I kept journals the whole time. And I was doing missionary work down there and building schools and helping people and all kinds of stuff. But 1 week I got sick. I never got the Montezuma's Revenge or anything. But they told me I had typhoid, bad snow cone, bad water or something like that. But I also told me I had ringworm. I was doing a jiu-jitsu seminar. And that's real common in wrestling. So I had the bullseye, but in my journal, it was on my neck, right on my hairline. And in my journal, I wrote, dang, even the ringworm's bigger down here, like the mosquitoes and everything else. So I just thought it was bigger, like all the bugs are down there. And they kind of wrote it off as typhoid and ringworm in the same week. But looking back, I was like, aha, that was kind of my aha moment when I was like, that was it. Cause I started having problems after that.
Wow. Okay. So that was back in... Wow. Okay. And you were, I knew you were, did some kind of fighting. I couldn't remember. So it was cage fighting you did as to your way to kind of put you through college. And
yeah, so I got my black belt in Japanese jiu-jitsu right out of high school, like 18 years old. And it saved my life so many times. Wow. I'm so glad I did that. Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Okay. So this was in Mexico. And when was this in Mexico that you kind of narrowed it back down to that you had the ringworm, so to say, right?
Right at the end, yeah. I came back not long after. They flushed me for parasites and stuff like they do when you get back, but just stomach stuff. But I got bit on the head, so it started neural, like right into my neck, okay. Like where the matrix plugs in, right on the hairline, on that tendon. And I still have a scar there, and it moves and it grows. It's weird. I stick some of the bee stings we're talking about today right into it, and I don't feel it there. It's weird. I'm trying to kill the mothership, I think. I don't know.
Wow. Yeah. So you had a lot of the neurological symptoms.
Yeah, I started with neurological memory lapses because I was studying. It was getting harder and harder to study, and retraction, pulling out those things I'd studied. And even the moves, like I did drills 1,000 times and my coach would be like, how do you forget that? We just drilled that 1,000 times last week, you know, and I started forgetting things. And then it got into depression and diagnosed depression and later bipolar and then ADHD. And that went on. I probably had 13 diagnostics and it kept changing and getting worse.
Wow. Yeah. And so, I mean, like, what does that do to, you know, especially a male, right? Like we're supposed to be these big, bad machos, and you kind of are big and macho with with all of your fighting, right? I mean, what does that do to you for a doctor or these doctors to be giving you all these random, like you're losing your mind, you've got, you know, depression and all of this. What does that do to your psyche? Like,
because I was so disciplined and a personal trainer and clean diet and doing everything right. And I saw it work every day for my clients at the gym. This stuff works, the diet and exercise, it always works, but it wasn't working for me. So it was a mind screw, really. But I was smart enough because I know my body so intimately through martial arts and all that. I knew something was wrong. I was like, no, it's not me. It's not in my head. People pay me for my positivity, dude. I'm a professional. People, I'm one of the top guys. I was one of the top trainers for Gold's Gym at the time, regional manager, and people literally listen to me on conference calls every morning. And I knew it wasn't me, so they didn't have me fooled. But so that's why the depression and the anxiety and all that threw me off. I was like, there's no way I should be scared right now. I have a third degree black belt. I have my dream truck, my dream girlfriend. Everything is fine. Why do I want to kill myself? And that's where I start asking questions. I'm like, and I went to psych, you know, therapists and all of that first. And we did all the DBT and CBT and all of it. I've done all of that for years. And it helped later on, you know, post-healing Lyme. It's helpful dealing with all the traumas and everything in retrospect. But yeah, I was in neuro for probably the first 10 years and just repressing it with health and fitness. But little things here and there started coming out. And I wrote off mostly arthritis when it kicked in. Oh, I'm a jiu-jitsu guy. I'm getting cranked on all week. It's normal wear and tear. And I wrote a lot of it off.
Yeah, well, yeah, and you would think so, right? Kind of abuse on your body, right? As we get older, we're like, well, I kind of did abuse my body a little bit. I should be experiencing these things.
I blamed it on the snowboarding and jiu-jitsu and everything else. Yeah, I wrote it off, but I knew something was wrong.
Yeah, well, that's good. I'm glad that you did because, you know, a lot of times we just get thrown into that, I am depressed or, you know, and honestly, you know what? We are like, something's wrong with us. We can't figure it out. Of course we're depressed. And I've always said, this not funny, right? The doctors tell you it's all in your head. Well, you know what it is. Lyme is in my head and that is why I'm doing what I'm doing. Exactly. Yeah, they were right, but they just were looking at it, you know, from a different version of that. So, So then how long did this go on? You said like 10 years?
So it started getting real bad at 10 years. It ended my fight career. I was doing really good. I was like headed to the UFC. I was training with some of the greats and just chug along through the pain. But I went and tried out for Ultimate Fighter like 2008, I believe, and I had heart palpitations. That's when it had gotten down into my heart and I failed my physical. And they always test you for AIDS and stuff, right? And like, so you bleed in the guy's mouth or something, but they don't test you for Lyme. And that's when we were like, uh-oh, something's really wrong here. Like, why do I have heart palpitations at age 29? This is not okay.
Wow. And, you know, that's just to kind of go off topic just a tad bit. You said they test you for AIDS when you're fighting because you bleed in somebody's mouth, right? You know, it still just scares me to this day that so many of us are, we're unaware, right? So for the listeners out there, I'm telling you this, and it comes directly from my heart. If you ever battled Lyme disease, please, please, please do not ever donate blood or plasma, ever. I don't care if you're well for 20 years, please don't do it. And the other thing that's super dear to my heart, is back in, many, many years ago, I was 19 years old and my 22-year-old brother passed away, and he got an illness and needed a heart transplant. And so I am huge on being a donor, right? Mm-hmm. We can't be, guys. Listeners, please, please, please know we cannot donate blood and we cannot be an organ donor. And that was, you know, there's a lot of really bad things about Lyme disease, but that's one that really just bites me every time because it's so near and dear to my heart, right?
I would agree with that totally.
So interesting you say that they test you for AIDS, but they don't test you for Lyme, right? Like, it's the pandemic. Yeah. We need to be tested for this. So anyways, just wanted to throw that in there.
Yeah, so that kind of ended my fight career. I got super depressed. There goes my dreams, right? I'd fought for that forever. My sparring partner got on there and got his butt kicked. I totally could have won that fight. But it was, looking back, I'm like, oh, thank God. I can't believe I did that, first of all. And two, I had Lyme. I could have died in there. You know, one bad kick to the head, or, you know, I might not ever come back. So I'm kind of grateful I got out when I did. I moved home, still a go-getter. I was really motivated despite it all and trying to push through it. But I was having more and more problems with the bipolar and spending money crazy and dating crazy women, because I think I was attracting it. They were drawn to me because, you know, narcissistic people latch on to empaths, and I didn't know that at the time. But I had some crazy relationships. I was putting weird vibrations out there, attracting bad people, and got in some trouble. Started an underground fight club. I was going crazy, actually. I'm writing a book about it, and I was like Tyler Durden and called it. It was crazy. That's some of the craziest chapters of my book, because I was starting to lose it and do stuff I can't explain why I did that, and doing crazy stuff on my snowboard and just unpredictable stuff too. I don't know where that came from out of left field. And I ended up having to leave the state because I was getting in trouble, and I was like, I gotta go back home. So I came back to be near my family. I was getting scared at this point. And then I opened a gym, though. Still want to make money. I got into a great opportunity, a foreclosure gym. This guy was kind of walking away. I walked into a gym business. I was like, this is great. I was pushing myself hard, though. I mean, sleeping in the office and 12-hour days. And just, I was doing everything myself, marketing, hiring, all of it. And I ended up with 15 employees, and I'm doing all of it. And then it was 2012, New Year's Day. The Mayan apocalypse was real for me, because it all hit me and my immune system crashed in one day. Like, I got hit by a truck, just ran over, 220 volts. Somebody's electrocuting my neck, chopping off my head, and I'm being eaten by invisible bears. Like, in one day, it all hit me like a train. And it was, I mean, they took me in. My buddy carried me into the hospital. They did a spinal tap checking for meningitis. I passed out during that, and they find nothing wrong with me. And this goes on for another 9 months, just searching, testing, nothing. And this is crazy, too. I went to Dr. Gerber. I hope he doesn't get mad. I don't like the name drop on these, but I met a doctor that was homeopathic and an MD and an NHD and an ND in Reno. And I think he still runs a clinic. And he hooked me up to an autonomic response testing machine. And that's one of those ones that scans the frequency of all diseases, all 18,000. We're scanning viruses first. And then when we get in everything else, and he's like, weird, it's not that, it's not that, it's not that. We hit Lyme, and he shocks me on that frequency, and it starts beeping. And he's like, uh-oh. And I'm like, what? And he's like, well, the good news is we know what it is. The bad news is I've been studying medicine for 40 years, and I know the tip of the iceberg on Lyme. I'm going to be honest with you. It's a brutal one. And he's like, you're going to have to get a specialist. And I was like, oh, shit. Right. And that was weird. And he's like, and they're not going to accept this test. And I was like, why aren't they using this? And he's like, every doctor's scared they're going to lose their job. You can scan people for any disease and tell them what's wrong with them. They don't want that. It's been on the desk for 15 years. And so he's like, now you're going to have to get a blood test. I recommend you take some doxycycline. I'll write you a prescription. Take it for 2 weeks and then take your lab so you got some floaters in your blood. He was at least smart enough to know all that. A lot of people pull negatives because they're burrowed in and it's not free floating in their blood and they get a false negative. So yes. I got lucky and I pulled four or five titers on my first draw. And I got lucky with that because I took the doxy first.
Wow. Yeah. And, no, that is a good tip for sure. Because they hide, right? Like it.
Yeah.
It's hard enough to get an accurate test. But so, yeah, this autonomic nerve testing that you did, like it's all part of this energy muscle testing, right? And that's what I've been talking about for years. It was my favorite thing to do. It just is, you know, I say that I don't really care what we have, Lyme disease, Babesia, but I don't care what you name it. Like, we want to know what the symptoms are. We want to know how to get rid of the symptoms, get rid of everything, right? And so I just think that this energy testing, or, you know, our bodies are energy, right?
Well, and then what was his, and it's what incredible. Was what? What was wild, his software called Avatar or whatever, it also, he could put the herbs, connect the herbs to this thing and see how my body responded to them. And he's like, well, usually cat's claw is good for people with Lyme. Your body doesn't like it. And he started helping me once I saw a Lyme doctor with custom protocols.
I'm so glad, Jared, you just brought that up because I want the listeners to hear this. So exactly what you just said, right? So we get these supplements. I mean, gosh, just think vitamin C for one, right? Like just think vitamin C. We can actually muscle test ourselves for vitamin C and our body could say no. It's your body doesn't want it. And or the brand of a supplement, you know, there's a lot of these, they're not all treated equally, right? You get kind of what you pay for, and you can have a supplement that has extra fillers in it and that fillers does not recognize your body. They can do this testing of different supplements for your protocols for Lyme all by using your body's own energy.
Yeah,
and that is another reason why I love this form of testing. It's amazing.
Yeah. But the problem I had there was by the time I figured this all out, I'd been paying people to run my business. I was running out of stuff to sell off. And my trainers were running my gym for me, like, boss, what do? You're really sick. And once I looked up Lyme and started reading, I was like, I'm screwed. There's no way I'm going to be able to run this business. So I started selling everything off, and that was heartbreaking. And I had to move home in my parents' basement. And I felt that was hard. That was hard, like letting go of not only my UFC dream, but my dream business. And all my employees lost their jobs. And it was brutal. That was heartbreaking. That's when I almost gave up. But I got lucky there too. I had some lucky breaks. My brother was in Afghanistan and he called me on his sat phone under fire. And my family was being brutal. They didn't believe it. They're believing the first page of Google, 2 weeks of doxy, you should be good. It's not that, it's you. It's these drugs they've been giving you, these psych meds, all that. And they almost had me fooled, you know, and starting to believe it was all me. And I almost gave up because of that, especially when I lost everything as a man. You asked about that. You're supposed to be a provider and all that. It's brutal. It's so brutal when you can't work. Oh, gosh. That was hard. That was so hard. And losing my business was brutal. But my brother called me on a sat phone under fire, bullets whizzing over his head. Nobody believes me. And he's like, dude, my combatives trainer in Fort Bragg, South Carolina, was the toughest dude I ever met in the Army. He's on a walker right now. And guess why? And I'm like, why? He's like, he's got Lyme disease. And he's like, I believe you. He's like, I'll make it home. If you make it home, just hang your black belts up on the end of your bed and make it. And saved my life. He made me promise I wouldn't give up.
Love that. Who said I was going to cry, you or me? Not sure.
Probably me too, yeah.
No, that's, you know, and sometimes that's, like you said, we get this diagnosis, right? We finally are validated. And then we're like, oh, shit, like who wants this disease? Could it be anything but this, right?
Yeah,
and
then, brutal.
And then you go through, here you go through, you know, giving up on your dream and being a fighter. That's what I said, you know, when I introduced you to the show is that so many of us lose these things that we've worked so hard for, right? Because of this journey. And so you're not a fighter, but then, okay, let me give it another go, right? And you open a gym and then you lose that too. Yeah. And then it just took that phone call from your brother to tell you, look, I've seen it in real life. I know this guy is no joke and he's in a walker and it's because of Lyme. Like, those are probably like music to your ears, right? Like, that was probably something that just made you be that strong person you were anyways inside and just really be like, okay, that's it. I'm going to do this. I can do this. I'm going to fight for my life, right?
Yeah, that's when I decided this is war. This is war with CDC, ISDA, Lyme disease. And I would start, this is crazy. I was really hurting really bad. I would talk to my spirochetes. I would be like, I'm going to kill every last one of you and your families inside of my body. And I would like, I went war mode. I shaved my head. I hung my black belts up and I went full war mode after that. Like deep in. I found the best guy in California, Dr. Harris of Pacific Frontier Medical. He beat Lyme in South Carolina and they took his license because he was doing the herbs too. He's like, the herbs, you got to do the herbs or the meds will kill you. And he went to California because of Prop 215 out of Stanford. And I got into his clinic and he's like, dude, we got to knock him back. You're really infected. Some people are dead by now. Like, we're going to have to go hard at this for a bit. You know, he's like, and later on, listen to your body. When you're ready to phase out homeopathic, listen to your body. And I love him. I still love him. Because he did. They put the PICC lines in. I did all the ports and all that for a few years, man. And I totally went broke there. I went like $250,000 under in clindamycin, Rosef, and all that. But I felt like he was right. And when they put the endoscope in my heart to set the PICC line, my radiologist was like, you want to see him? And I was like, what do you mean? And she's like, I can zoom this thing in like 10 million times. Do you want to see the bacteria? And I was like, yeah, I do. I want to know this is real. And she zoomed in on him and I saw him creepy crawling through my heart and like burrowing through my heart. It was gnarly. It was the worst case of heebie-jeebies I've ever had in my life. But that gave me more motivation. I was like, I gotta kill these things, dude. I got pond water in my blood. I gotta get this out of me, you know?
Yeah.
So I did the medical for a few years. And then one day they were going hard and they were giving me stuff to sleep, stuff to get up in the morning, like everything. I was on every med on the planet. I think at one point, AIDS medications, Mepron, the whole bit. And doing herbs that were helping me with the herxes. I wasn't very good at detoxing in the beginning. I'm still a champion of that now. It's like part of my working out and regular discipline is detox. I'm a master of it now. I'm sitting on my jade infrared chair as we speak, my biomat. But
oh, I love my biomat.
Yeah, I love
it. One of my favorite things.
It's in my office chair mounted. I love that thing. So yeah, I pulled my PICC line out of my heart. I started having night terrors. I was getting real sick and I pulled my PICC line out of my heart in my sleep and I woke up with it all bloody in my hand. And I was like, these doctors are going to kill me, dude. I was like, and my body, that was when my body told me, it's like, no mas. And I quit everything from sleep medication to antibiotics to Adderall to all of it in one day, cold turkey, and I almost died. But I did.
listeners out there, please don't stop anything cold turkey.
Don't do that.
Don't do what Jared did.
No, yeah, do not do that. Phase out. I almost, emergency room, cops at my house. It was bad, so don't do that.
So but, you're doing these antibiotics for a few years, and then what? You just feel like that was kind of the end of that chapter? Like, that's why you pulled it out? Like, just,
my
this
body
isn't
was
working?
Just,
it's done.
I was like, yeah, it's not working. I don't feel any better. I'm just getting sick and they just legalized cannabis. And I was like, I'm just going to try the Rick Simpson oil and CBD. And I guess I'm dying high because I'm done doing this. I can't do this anymore with the meds. And my body just told me, and Dr. Harris had not honorably mentioned, your body will tell you, listen to it. And I was just like, I'm going to go holistic. And so that's when I bought Cowden, Buhner protocols, all that. And start, I was teaching Spanish classes in bed and doing stuff on Zoom, trying to make money to pay for all this stuff. But I was also out of money. My church had come up with like 150 grand to help me with all the IVs and everything. And I was just out of resources as well. So it was almost perfect timing, I felt like. And I just started phasing out and had some friends that were growers giving me the Rick Simpson oil for free and stuff. And that really helped. Oh my goodness. My tremors stopped. And a lot of that really helped me get through it. I haven't studied, there's a whole book on cannabis for Lyme disease. I haven't read it yet, but it's interesting how well that helped me get, it could bring me from a 9 or 10, I want to die, down to a bearable 7 or 6 on pain, you know? And then the kratom helped too. I got onto the kratom just to keep me going in energy. And I started doing all the Buhner's, Cowden's, all those protocols, but I was still sick, like year 10, and I was getting pissed.
So, yeah. Okay. So yes, you know, cannabis, CBC, CBD, all of that stuff, it's been very helpful for a lot of people. You know, a lot of people swear that it helped kill off their Lyme, but mostly just allow their bodies to relax enough to be able to heal itself, right? Like we got to shut down that pain level a little bit, shut down our brain.
The fight or flight a little bit.
Yeah. But you mentioned, and I want to say I've heard of it, but did you say kratom?
Kratom. So kratom is a weird plant. They banned it in Indonesia because people are getting off meds and quitting smoking and they're hurting all the pharma and tobacco companies, but it's related to coffee, cocaine plant, and the pine tree. Has major pinene in it. It's the pinene, I think. But it gives you energy and it drops my pain, and people use it to get off opioids. And I swear by it. It helps me anytime I'm real tired, the pain flares up. You can get it in a lot of gas stations. I helped gather over 1,500 signatures to save it. The ATF tried to ban it. Big Pharma doesn't like it, but we saved it. And so, yeah, that's a big one. But get it from buyers that are not using pesticides like everything else. Yeah.
So interesting. Yeah. If Big Pharma doesn't want you to do it, you know it's good for you, right?
Yeah.
So what is it? Is it like a plant that you smoke, or is it a pill that you take? Or sorry, I'm very naive to a lot of this stuff. So I'm assuming a lot of the listeners are too.
Yeah, this is a fun fact. I was seeing a shaman that went to school with Dr. Gerber. She was her grandma was a shaman and trained her, and she got honorary shaman at like 14, 15, went to medical school. She's an ND and NHD and went to school with Gerber. And I go up to Northern California somewhere, and she's tribal and she's growing everything, these huge aloe vera plants and growing everything, and all her screens are off the windows, giant plants all over the place. And she did the eye thing where you can read people's eyes, the iridology or whatever, and told me I had black mold, and she saw other stuff that people weren't seeing. And I was like, whoa. So she puts me on fire cider and prebiotics and probiotics and all this stuff. She's like, your gut's destroyed. And she taught me with herbs. She was making oregano jelly and jalapeno jelly. And I was like, what? And she's like, yeah, there's 7 ways to ingest herbs. You can smoke them, you can tea them, you can tincture them, you can try them. There was like 7. I don't even remember all of them. But she's like, she was a big, big lady. And she's like, I like to jelly them and eat them, obviously. Like, kind of funny. And but she's like, my brother likes to smoke them. So kratom can be smoked, but they usually sell them in gas stations for like sleepy truck drivers for in pills, capsules. You can get the powder too, but find a clean company that doesn't use glyphosate or any of that. Yeah.
Okay. And it's called Kratom.
Kratom. It looks like Kratom. They call it Kratom, but it's Kratom.
Okay.
That's been a good one. Helps me a lot at work because I have 2 jobs right now. I'm pushing myself and I still have a little resilient pain.
And again, you know, I have this platform for people to talk about what worked for them, right? That doesn't necessarily mean I'm endorsing anything or saying, you know, go out and do this. I just want people to know. There's what options. Is available, what works for people.
Yeah, so. you're a guinea pig with Lyme. You really are, because of environmental factors, co-infections, molds, genetics, all of that. Yeah, you have to really guinea pig yourself, and it sucks. But you got to figure out what works for you. Yeah, and that's just a good one for me. And that kind of kept me going. And I've had two remissions. I was kind of feeling better around 10 years. The herbs did good. They did me right. They got me back to work a little bit, kind of part-time on-call stuff. And I was doing pretty good around 10 years. Not fully there, though. I was still like, I don't want to live like this. I don't want to feel like this the rest of my life. But And I was struggling a lot. I had two relapses around 8 years and another one at 10 from working in, I own a food truck, and it was too hot in there and the smoke and toxins, too much. So I've had to change careers a couple times too, adapting to environmental factors coming out. But now I'm doing real estate and office jobs, and it's nice in a suit.
All right. So you did the PICC line, the antibiotics for a couple years. Then you moved into the Cowden protocol.
And Buhner
protocol. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I just did the ones that worked for me. Again, some of them really okay. I did not like.
And did those move the needle more for you than the antibiotics did?
It's hard to say. I kind of feel like the strong meds might have knocked it back initially, like Dr. Harris said. As the more I've studied the microbiology of all these things, they're pretty, I mean, L-form, cyst form, all these forms, they're scary. It's terrifying. Those cysts can lay dormant and resist radiation and antibiotics for 50 years. I'm scared they could be in a dead body and those things are still waiting to find a new host. They're scary. They're super scary. And so I feel like even after I get to 100%, I'm going to stay on protocols probably the rest of my life. The non-invasive ones like Ionic Silver and stuff. Oh, that was a big one too. So I did ozone. I did the whole Holda Clark stuff with the thumper, the frequencies. That's where I first got into that. I still drink ionic silver, not colloidal. Colloid or suspended particles. I just do the ions. I imprint the silver on the water with a battery and I drink it, and it acts like IEDs for them. If they get in contact with one, they explode like an IED. It's cool. I saw it on under a microscope.
Okay. So we got to hold here for a second.
Okay.
So colloidal silver, if you've been listening to me any length of time, you know it's one of my favorite things. So you're talking about, and that is, there's actually a lot I want to say right here. So love colloidal silver. Most of my listeners know this. You said that there's many things that you're going to continue to do. And I do. Yeah. I definitely want to touch on that because I think that once we reach a mission, we get cured, we do whatever. It's kind of like a lifestyle, right? Like I've found many things I'll do forever. I feel amazing. I've been in remission for over 3 years. I've been symptom free for over 3 years. Like I just couldn't feel any better. But like we talked about your biomat earlier, right? I already invested in this biomat. So I don't know. Every once in a while, I'll get it out and lay on it. Why? Do I need it? No. But why not? It's there, right? Like I have it. It's a tool.
But don't you? Like, don't we all need a detox? They're poisoning our air, our water, our food. Well, that's insane.
Yes, yes. There's things that we can do to maintain things, right? And I take my silver and I've got a vibe plate for my lymphatics. Like, why not jump on it and do it? Yes.
A lot of people should do this stuff just because of environmental factors.
Yes. Our food, the chemicals air, we put on it. On our body, the environmental, so much of it. But so talk to me. Let's talk a little bit about silver because I love colloidal silver. I make my own. But you're talking ionic silver. So educate ionic. Me.
So the colloidal, they use some chemical reactions to suspend microparticles of silver in the water. And when you drink it, those particles are symbiotic with us. They don't hurt you, but when the Lyme and bacteria and viruses go by them, they explode. Well, I do ionic, which is fresh. So I hook up a 9-volt battery to two alligator clips, and then I have 99.999% pure silver wires. I put one on each side in a glass of water, and I put them on that battery, and it forms like a white tornado. It looks like a white tornado in the center of the glass. And those are live ions that are electrical charges. So what you've done is you've imprinted silver, the electrical equation or components of silver onto the water with electronic ion charges because it bonds onto the hydrogen molecules. And then it's not actual particulates. They're just sparks. And those sparks bond onto oxygen. And when they come in contact with the lime and bacteria, they explode as well. So you can make it at home. I learned that from a vet. She had like two big silver coins in a bucket making it for her dogs at the ranch. And I was like, what are you doing? You know? And she's
this
like,
this is interesting because that sounds exactly like how I make mine.
Well, I think it's basically the same thing. I think it is. She told me it was ionic when you make it yourself with the electrical charge. Some of the colloidal silvers can be chemical suspensions. That's another thing. You got to look at how they make it. You got to look at how they make it again, like we talked about. Yeah. That's important.
I started making it several years ago. I had a guest on here. His name was Pat, and he made his own colloidal silver. and he swore that like that's what got him where he needed to be, right? Mm-hmm. And I've used it, you know, well, I got introduced it back in 2015 when I finally got my diagnosis, and I've used it ever since, and I'll use it forever. Well, after COVID happened, like the price of this stuff went skyrocket. Why? Because it works. Mm-hmm. And I use it for everything. And I'm like, I don't want to buy this anymore. I need to make it. So I've only been making it for a few months, but
yeah, oh my gosh, it's kind of fun. I bring it to work and make it for people. And I put it during COVID, I put it in spray bottles and I'd inhale it. I saw
nebulize it, spray up the nose, put it in my ears, put it in my eyes. Dogs. Gargle with it. You have a sore throat. I put it in my dog's water. Yeah. I mean, you name it. I put it in my diffuser. I do. And that was why I was like, I need to make this. I can't afford to use it the way I want to use it, buying it.
And when I at the end there, I was so broke, nothing left to sell, couldn't work. I started making some of these things. I learned how to make a spark fusion ion ozonator like Nikola Tesla made in 1918. It sucks they covered all this up because he was making bongs with eucalyptus oil and ozone for miners that had like coal miners' lung. It was basically cancer back then, but he was curing people up with that back in 1918. They covered it all up. So I built an ozonator, and then I ended up buying one, and I built my own thumper out of a strobe light, and I bought the speaker and the wire, and I built a Holda Clark zapper, and it thumps under my bed to this day, keeping all the 5G away. It builds like a force field around your body and sets your natural rhythm to like your mother's heartbeat. It's crazy.
And you call, okay, so elaborate a little bit on that.
So the Holda Clark thumper, it emits, I took a speaker and I have magnetic wire around it, but it basically emits a frequency that puts your body into like your natural frequency. Well, you were on the frequency you were on in your mother's tummy. It mimics a mother's heartbeat. And also because it's pulsing those magnetic waves, it'll kind of keep all the bad stuff off of you. You're building a force field a little bit, keeping off the 5G and the bad frequencies a little bit. I also got into silver sheets and the silver fabric because that will block a lot of the ions we're getting in our rooms. Some of my doctors were like, yeah, no LEDs in your room, no cell phone at night. You got to shut down all that radiation because it's aggravating your nerves. Right. So I've been all anti-radiation ever since. We're getting a lot of it.
I love that. No, and it's so important. Like there's, you know, our bodies, like vibrations is huge on our body, right?
Yeah, there's a company called Lambs that sells silver fabric beanies and stuff like that. And it just keeps the 5G from pulsing on your brain all day. It's kind of cool. Love it.
Isn't it crazy that the crazy things we find ourselves doing, inventing, making.
Yeah, like, it's my tinfoil hat.
Like we
hat.
Never that would have done this,
that,
right?
That beanie is my tinfoil hat. But it's silver.
It's so crazy what lime forces us to do, right? Like we're fighting for our lives.
Yeah.
So
yeah, but the game changer, I was still feeling pretty shitty and pretty sorry for myself and pretty defeated around year 12, about 2 years ago or a year and a half ago. And then I found a game changer. Changed my life.
What was it?
It was the bee venom therapy. So I ran into this guy, John, still a great friend of mine to this day. Somehow, and he's a real spiritual man. He like getting his RV and has a beehive built into it. He'll let his bees out during the day. He can only drive by night because they come back at night. And he travels around the country helping limeys and stuff in Florida and all over.
Wow.
And he'll just have like spiritual callings. He'll wake up one morning. He has a couple daughters and his wife. And he'll be like, I had a dream. I got to go to Colorado or something. He's amazing. He's so in tune with all that stuff. He goes to Tibetan monks because he's found this art through, it's called Shindo, and he has used it. When I met him, he's like, I knew I had to get off this exit, and he's got his RV out in front of this bar and restaurant. Somehow Lyme comes up, and he's like, my wife and I had Lyme, and we gave it to our daughters. They both have Pando's Lyme or Pan's Lyme or whatever, congenitally, and they were screwed. They couldn't go to kindergarten, and they're skiing again. And he's like, we use no meds at all. And I'm like, and only one therapy. And I'm like, what? You're insane. He has crazy hair. He looks like a young Einstein. I'm like, all right, dude. And he's like, yeah, right. And he's like, you want to try it? And he pulls a box. I wish we were doing video because I have one right here. But he pulled out this plexiglass box of live honeybees with holes in it. And he's like, do you have a massage table? I told him I live right next door to the bar kind of thing. I was downtown Reno. And he's like, do you have a massage table? And I'm like, yes. I kept one for my gym. And he's like, so you and the MS girl in the wheelchair and the girl at the bar that has bug bites all over her, we're going up to your room after work and we're going to go do this. It's a martial art. The samurai used it to heal people. They would sting. They had medics in their wars. These medics would carry a wood box of bees and sting the sword wounds so they didn't get infected and pack them with honey. And they were using it to heal all kinds of stuff in a lot of countries. Gone down the rabbit hole. I traced it to Romania, Tibet. Anyways, lost arts again. And so I get up there and he does this whole ceremony and I strip down with these random chicks in the stranger in my room. And he does acupuncture. He grabs these little bees and he covers them with a tissue, their head, so they can't see it. And then right when he crushes their head, he grabs the stinger with these little tweezers and he does acupuncture. And the little sack pumps it in as much as you want, wherever you want. If it started burning, he'd move it. You know, and then he did all these, what symptoms do you have? Okay, I'm going to put some in your ear and then some in your hands for your arthritis. And I'm going to do a full sting in your neck. Is that where you got bit? I'm like, yeah. And he dropped the whole one. And I call it liquid light now because it lit me full of light. I could see my eyes cleared up. I didn't realize I'd been seeing fuzzy for years. My eyes cleared up immediately and I had energy for like 2 weeks. The girl that had MS that was in a wheelchair, she got up and cleaned her house for the first time in years, she said, for like days. And we were like blown away. Me and these girls were like, no freaking way. And people are asking me, what are you on, bro? And I'm like, bee venom. And they're just looking at me like I'm insane. But I felt great for like about 2 weeks and then it wore off. And he lives in New Mexico in Dallas and does a clinic down there, by the way, with Hoshindo Healing Arts Institute. And shout out.
Yes.
And so I didn't get to do it again. He came through about 6 months later for Burning Man. He's a fun guy and he stings people at Burning Man and trying to heal hippies and stuff everywhere. He's great. But I didn't get to do it again for 6 months. He did it again. I felt great. And I'm like, I got to start learning how to do this, man. And then he calls me one day and he's like, hey, this girl I went to school with just moved to Reno. That's like an hour away from Tahoe. So I'm like, all right, nice. And I've been training with Lisa kind of ever since, Lisa Barto. With Oshindo, and she's starting to teach classes and teach people how to do this because there's only 7 people that have their black belts in this art in the U.S. and there's a huge need. And so my wife and I are students and gonna come up with the money to do the classes and get certified in all this, and it's amazing. So she's a little she does a lot of protocols specific for Lyme. With Lyme, she even told me, she's like, you got to do more bees for Lyme than any other disease. It's just the way it works.
Okay. So I've chatted with people who have done bee venom therapy. Like, it's been huge for them, right? Like, mm-hmm. They move the needle for you. Yeah. Is there a difference between just stinging yourself with bees? Because you mentioned, like, they did acupuncture with these bees.
Can you explain what the difference is? So when they're trained, you have full stings. Yeah, I've seen the people just running 10 up their spine, and that's gnarly, but it probably works. It's probably the best for Lyme to go hard, man, because you need more venom. A lot of the amino acids in there and the melatonin is 100 times. I read today, melatonin, in bee venom is 100 times more anti-inflammatory than hydrocortisone. 100 times. It's amazing. And a lot of those things in there help heal your synapses in your brain. It's amazing. It gets past the blood brain barrier. It's got like 14 rare amino acids that help for a lot of stuff. I don't know. I have read it, but I don't understand how to read all those PubMed and scientific studies, but they've found it helps AIDS, breast cancer, all kinds of stuff. And for Lyme, it's just incredible. It helps you dump all the ammonia that causes a lot of your pain and the burning in your nerves. I love it. So I started with 15 bees about 3 times a week when I first started going to Lisa. I had to go hard and I was herxing real bad at first because I'd built some back up. I'd been too easy on them. But then I started feeling great. Again, back to full time in the gym, back to jiu-jitsu, snowboarding, like nothing ever happened. I'm back, like picked up where I left off at 29. And I've been flying ever since. And yeah, Yeah, it was wild. It was a game changer.
Well, you know, bees are amazing, right? Like, we don't always want them around us. We don't want to be stung, but some of us like pay money to get stung. And
my neighbors think I'm crazy. Yeah. I don't wear the bee suit. I was like, why would I wear a suit when I'm going and catching these things, sticking them in?
Yeah.
I just let them sting me.
No, that's interesting that you're talking about this, because just yesterday or today, I think I just posted on my Lyme and Light Therapy Facebook page all about bees and how amazing they are, like, and the benefits and the things and all that stuff. So yeah, be good to our bees.
But I feel bad for all my vegan friends out there. They do die when they sting, and I hate it, and it was killing me. I was literally crying and thanking each one. They do this little origami thing, and you take them out, and I give them a warrior's death and burn the little paper their body's in, and I thank every single one of them for giving their life for me. But then I was like, no, I'm killing dozens of these now. I gotta raise them. I'm gonna pay it forward, and I have 3 hives in my backyard now, and I have like a million. There's like 500,000 in each hive, and I'm raising them, and got babies, lots of babies this year, and I'm raising them and paying it forward because they saved my life.
That's
literally
crazy.
I feel like, yeah.
You know, it just, and I say it all the time, there's not one shoe that works for everyone, right? It doesn't fit for everyone.
No, and for anyone that, I know Limey's like out in Florida. I have this friend, Valerie, shout out. She's had a rough go to cancer, all kinds of stuff with Lyme. And she was ordering bees online, keeping them in a jar and just stinging herself before I ever got to Lisa. And I was like, I need to do that, but I want to have an EpiPen or two around, because one in 1,000 bees can be extra spicy, you know, and cause way too much histamines to go up. I have read actually that when they're angry, sometimes I put lavender hydrosol on their little pen first to calm them down, because their venom's more painful when they're angry. So if I can get them calm and relaxed, I put them in their little box with honey and water and let them chill for a night in the house sometimes, and then they don't seem to burn as bad. I don't know if that has anything to do with potency or just the burn. But you definitely want to kind of have a doctor on board with this. What I did is I told my doctor.
I was just going to say that
because if you have any allergies, Lisa can microdose people with micro stings and tapping to introduce their bodies. She swears she can get people over that allergy. But because you don't know, or if you don't know if you have an allergy, I went and told my doctor, and I had a good one at this time. She was new. She was open-minded. She'd heard of Lyme, and she was kind of like running. She tested my brain, MRIs, everything. She's like, wow, you're doing really good considering what you've been through. And I was like, awesome. But she was writing up everything. I was like, hey, I'm getting into beekeeping, and I get stung all the time. She's like, let me give you some EpiPens. So that's all I said. I didn't bring up Lyme. I just said I'm beekeeping, and I get stung a lot. And she gave, I have like 4 EpiPens. I keep them in the fridge just in case. Yeah. And that's
good to know for the people,
And if you get a little
itchy, stronger venom than others.
Some people get super itchy. I don't, but my wife does. So she keeps Benadryl on hand, cream or the little pink pills or whatever. But you got to listen to your body again. Microdose it. Just try a little bit. See how it works. And start easy. Go real easy on it, because it's powerful medicine. It really is. I feel the difference immediately. Which you don't with most herbs and stuff. You're waiting. It's like, is this working? And you start losing hope sometimes. You don't even know. But the venom's immediate. It trickles in. And after the initial sting, they connect. Everywhere she stings me, they connect like they're talking to your nervous system. My fibromyalgia went away immediately. It was one of my worst symptoms, and I haven't had it since. It's healing up my mom's arthritis and my wife. She found out her grandma did this in Mexico, and she's from Guadalajara, and she found out her grandma did this, so she's all on board. She's stoked on it. She loved her grandma, so she stings me all the time. I'm pretty blessed with that, and does all my cupping detox on my back and stuff like that. But I love the Japanese culture. I had a black belt in their jiu-jitsu, but this culture is awesome. They had some of this stuff figured out in the old days, you know? It's cool.
Oh, yeah. The natural medicine. Like, it's proved itself time and time again. But again, like, we wouldn't have thought outside the box had we not had Lyme disease and wanted to try anything and everything there was to get well, right?
Right, so. Yeah, when he asked me if I wanted to try it, I'm like, heck yeah. Steam
what do we
up,
have
dude.
To lose, right? And I tell people, if you're doing something 3, 4 months, 5 months, you're not seeing that needle move, change things up. Mm. Change it up. Get outside your box. Look at, you know, that's why I love this podcast, because we talk about any and all ways to get better, right?
Yeah,
anything and everything. Yeah. And so many ideas for you to try and figure out what works for you. Wow. Well, I'm so happy you found that and that that's going to be kind of your little mission. Like you said, you know, when you want to get back to these bees, you want to grow these, you want to share this. That's what we want to do, right? Like we both have been through quite the journey. We've lost a lot along the way. Mm-hmm. And what better way to kind of make it better
is to pay it forward.
Yeah. And so I love that you're doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my goal is I'm working with a veteran buddy. I'm rebuilding Freedom Fitness, bringing it back and helping to heal veterans with a float tank and MMA and climbing walls and all of that. And then I eventually, long term, I want to build a retreat and get some land and do a retreat with some cabins and detox hot tubs and bentonite hot tubs and the whole bit, and bring people out and show them how to detox and
well,
and
would
heal
you
themselves.
Please reach out to me. I'm all
yeah,
in.
Absolutely.
I want to come.
You'll all be invited.
I want a special invite here.
Yeah, I'm looking in the area by John, North New Mexico, South Colorado. Beautiful, and there's lots of hot springs. And yeah, that's the goal long term. But I'm happy to be alive. I'm working. I'm killing it in real estate. I got Employee of the Year last year, and it's unbelievable to me because I just feel, I was like, wait, I'm broken. I'm beat to hell. How am I doing this crap? But I'm back, and it feels really good. And it's worked it. And I know you feel like you're never going to get better with Lyme. I felt that way for 12 years, but it does get better. You got to be patient, be calm, hang in there, breathe. That's the key.
Yeah.
Stay hydrated and detox, detox, detox. That was my life for years. Just kill, detox, replenish, kill, detox, replenish. I would chant that to myself.
Yeah.
It's so big.
I'm glad you said that because I do too. The other side of Lyme is it's truly amazing. It's so worth the fight, right?
Mm-hmm. The littlest things make me so happy now because I'm just alive and I never would have experienced this otherwise.
It changes us. It changes us as a person, but it's for the better. It really is. I just feel so blessed all the time. So
me too. I do.
Awesome. Well, Jared, thank you so much for sharing. I always love hearing amazing stories, a rough journey, but the best victory ever. So
thanks for having me on. This was one of my bucket lists. Someday when I finish my book, I want to meet Joe Rogan again. I met him through the fight scene. I want to go back and tell him this story.
Oh, you should definitely do it. Definitely do it.
Because
he had
Stephen Kotler on there that found flow state and it helped him heal Lyme. And it got me back into snowboarding and longboarding. It got me out of the wheelchair. And so he's done some good episodes. He's done a few good ones online. Look him up if you haven't seen him.
I will, for sure. That's awesome. Well, I'm glad I got to fill your bucket list by having you on a podcast.
Yeah, awesome.
It's my pleasure to have you. Thanks so much for sharing with us. And good luck with your new venture, with your gym, all of that, this bee thing you're doing through. I think it's amazing. You got this.
Thank you. You too. It's good being here. Thanks for having me on.
I sure hope you listeners enjoyed that episode. Whether it's hope you needed, a little inspiration today, or just maybe some validation that what you're feeling, what you're going through is real. Maybe you needed tips on how to treat at home, ideas, thoughts, detoxing, whatever it is. I truly just hope it's what you got out of today's episode. That is my only hope, is just to give back to this community in any way possible. So go to the about of this podcast, scroll down to the bottom and find that donation link. Go ahead and click on there, and anything that you'd like to donate or offer is all just going to go to help to pay towards the studio cost.